Hi, Lena. Oh, it's so good to hear your
Hi.
voice.
How are you?
I've been up and down like a wretched
Hello.
yo-yo. Hi,
Hi.
Amy, you're there. That's wonderful. Oh, that's great.
Oh, hello.
Hi, hello, can you hear me? Oh,
Yeah,
Jody's
this is
there.
Amy. Yes.
That's wonderful. And now let's see if Dina. Dina said she was going to be there, and I have no idea how to connect with her. Dina, let me see, Dina. Is she not online? Okay, well, what can I do? Well, I'll call her anyhow. Maybe that'll help. Dina. Add to group call. Okay, user not online. She said she was going to be, so maybe a few more
Is she
minutes.
in America? Is she in Israel or America?
No, I understand that she's in Israel. I spoke to her today. She
Okay.
said she would be home by seven, by three, by three. So
You know.
I'm gonna send her husband. Okay, I'll just send her husband's online, so I'll just send her husband. Hi. Yeah, ear. Oops. Yeah, who wants to say something?
Yadida, it's daylight savings here, so we're an hour off.
Heavens above, so you are.
Yeah, so it's 8 o'clock in America now, or
Oh
where I
my
live in
gosh.
America. So I figured that's why you maybe got confused.
I did get confused. I mean,
Well, good
okay.
for goodness, we should expect you to know what time it is all over the world and every time change.
Gosh. Oh my gosh. No, but I spoke to her and she said, and I spoke to her in Israel today. So I think she's in Israel. So, but it could be that Mia won't be on.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to stay either. I've just
Oh my
assumed that.
gosh. No, I didn't remember all that.
That's okay. Maybe nobody let you, reminded you, so it's, certainly not a
Well, yeah, and
problem.
it's been such a balagan with me. So, I can't blame anybody for anything.
How are you, since you have a moment?
Oh well. Bezrat Hashem. Okay, all right. Jody, thank you. I haven't been able to post the things. I've really been up and down like a yo-yo.
Yeah.
But there's a Hashem, I'm just praying and praying that soon this period will be over and I'll be back to a more even keel and I'll be able to post the things and get back to my normal way of
Yeah.
doing things.
Absolutely,
Bezrat
absolutely.
Hashem. Anyhow, all the best for you and also for your father. I'm thinking of him all the time.
Thank you so much. Next week is Rachel's
Shirefor.
wedding, so I'll be out of town. I won't be there next week.
Oh, right. Lovely. Okay. Well,
Yeah.
enjoy the simcha.
Thank you so much, and well, I'll catch you
Yeah.
after the
Bezrat
wedding.
Hashem. Very
Okay,
good.
take care.
Take care.
Lehidot.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye then. Right. Well, let's start with who we've got. I didn't
Got
remember that.
Amy.
Hello, Amy and Elena. That's great. So at least we've got, whatever we've got is Baruch Hashem. Very, very, very good. At least we'll be able to
I
have
did the
anything.
same thing though on Monday,
Yeah.
on my class in Montana.
Right.
I was an hour off, and he said, I'm supposed to start at 10 in Montana. And I called, and it was 11. And he said, "Did you know it was daylight savings time?" And I said, "No, I did not."
Right, exactly. Yes.
We have that coming up at the end of the month.
It's always a peculiar sort of like 2 weeks when America's changed and we haven't yet. So I forgot about that completely. All right, never mind. Let's start with our prayer. All right, and let's dedicate it for Refuah Shelema to Jody's father.
And also, this is the yard site of a very close friend of mine, Marilyn Reuven.
Oh, let's do that also. Yes. Lilui Nishmat. Is it Marilyn? Have you got her Hebrew name?
I don't have her Hebrew name.
Okay, Marilyn Reuven. And
Yeah.
for Refuah Shelema for Yosef ben Elimelech for Rivka. Okay. Ribono Lamim Vadone Adonim, Avrahaman Vaslichot, Modim Anachnu Lefaneha Adonai Eloheinu Vleavotenu, Bekida Bishtahavaya, Shekerav Tonu Lototcha Ulevadotcha Vodota Kodesh, Venatata Lanu Chelek Besodot Totecha Kdosha, Ma'anu Umechayenu, Asher Asiti Imanu Chesed Gadol Kaze. Al Kain Anachnu Mapilim Tachnunenu Lefaneha. שתמחור ותסלח לכל חטאותינו ועוונותינו, ואל יהיו עוונותינו מבדילים בינינו לביניך. וכן יהיו הצון מלפניך, אדוני אלוהינו ולאבותינו, שתכונן את לבבינו ליראתך ולאהבתך, ותקשיב אוזניך לדברינו אלה, ותפתח לבבינו הערל בסודות תורתך, ולימודנו זה נחת רוח לפני כסי כבודך כרך ניחוח, תציל עלינו אור מקור נשמתנו בכל בחינתנו, שיתנוצצו ניצוצות עבדיך הקדושים, אשר על ידם גלית דבריך אלה בעולם. וזכותם וזכות אבותם, וזכות תורתם ותמימותם וקדושתם, יעמוד לנו לבל ניכשל בדברים אלו. ובזכותם תראה עינינו במה שאנו לומדים, כמאמר נעים זמירות ישראל, גל עיניי ואביט הנפלאות מתורתך. כי אדוני תן חוכמה מפי דת ותבונה, יהיו לו רצון ימי פי, והגיון לי בלפניך, אדוני צורי וגואלי. אמן, כן יהיו
רצון.
אמן, אמן.
You know, maybe, because Dina definitely said she'd be part of the class, maybe she's on Yaya's computer, her husband. Maybe I should just add him in and just see what's happening. Call, see what's happening. Let's see. Maybe it's yeah. Maybe she's just using Yaya's. Let's see what's happening. I'll call her on the telephone because if she hadn't definitely said, I wouldn't bother, but she did. Let me see. Take a share, Dina. Okay, so I'll just. Let's try. Oof. No, so it's not him. Let's just try her phone. Sweetheart, I'm trying to connect with you on Skype, but you're not on. Dina. Oh, that's not what I've got at all. Oh, you sent me an invite. Oh, okay. So what do I do now? Okay. Where do I look for that? Oh, she sent me a new invite. Oh, that's what's happened. Oh, here you go, got it. Okay, all right. Okay, done it. Okay. Okay, now I'm just calling you now. I don't know why it hasn't come up. Dina Yehuda. Add to group call. It sort of comes up and then it disappears again.
Hello?
Hi, yeah.
Okay.
Wonderful, thank you.
All right, well, where...
Thank you so much.
Where are you?
I'm home now, home in Mitzvede Tofa, Baruch Hashem.
But I mean, how come you're there and I can't see your picture or anything?
I probably don't know. I didn't add a picture, but Okay. But I can hear you.
Well,
I can hear you.
As long as I can hear you and you can hear me, everything's fine. Okay, great. All right. Beseda Gimel, so you're here. I don't know how you've done it, but you're here. A miracle.
Yeah, me neither.
All right, okay.
Now, Baruch Hashem.
Baruch Hashem. Hodu Lashem Kitov. Now, I couldn't remember. I mean, it's just been such a balagan. I couldn't remember what material I'd sent everybody and what I didn't. So I sent everybody a new email today.
Wonderful.
Yeah, with the material we're going to start with today.
Great.
It's only the Hebrew, but I'm going to be translating and discussing in English anyhow. So it doesn't really matter. So if you don't
right.
have
is that the material on Choose Life? Or did we change topics?
We're now on the way in which Torah is going to be acquired. We finished Choose Life last time.
Oh, okay.
So if you open your emails, you'll all find new pages there.
Yadidah, I have the book Sefer HaKdamot. If you just tell me where it is, I'll find it in the book.
Okay, that's great. The thing is that I've got all sorts of other things added in.
Okay, then so I'll check the email.
It's better to
You're saying it's the way to acquire Torah?
Yeah, it's the way to acquire Torah.
I have that in English.
Perfect.
It's page 17 is what it says on mine.
Okay, I just don't have the English open. I can't manage two languages at once.
I don't know if that helps the other person.
Dina, it's in the English. In the email. I sent it in the in your email.
Yes, wonderful. I'll get it in momentarily.
Okay, very good. All right, lovely. So we're starting off with. So anybody who doesn't have it, just look in their email. You can open it up. Okay, so we're starting off
yes,
with.
Yes, I have it.
Good. Mishneh Avot, that's Pirkei Avot. And again, we're in the last chapter of Pirkei Avot called Kinyan Torah. Now, strictly speaking, I discovered that the last chapter that we read in Pirkei Avot in before Shavuot is not actually from the Mishneh Avot. So in fact, my title here is wrong. In the Mishneh Avot, the original Mishneh, there's only five chapters. And this extra chapter that we read before Shavuot is actually called Kinyan Torah, which is where I titled this whole work I've done, which is the acquisition of Torah. And because it speaks so much in the praise of Torah, it's an additional chapter, which actually comes from Avot de Rabbi Natan, which we read before the receiving of the Torah on Shavuot. So now, having looked at the beauty of Torah, the life in Torah, the reason that we choose Torah, now Rabbi Ashlag is now going to look at what is the way of Torah. How do we acquire Torah? Okay. And this is what the Mishneh Avot tells us. Pirkei Avot tells us. Kachi darka shel Torah. Pat b'melach tochal. Umayim b'msora tishte. Val ha'aretz tishan. V'chayei tzar tichye. U'b'Torah ata amel. Im ata osekein. Ashrecha v'tovlach. Ashrecha b'olam hazeh. This is the way of Torah. You should eat bread in salt, drink water in strict, limits, sleep on the ground, and lead a life of sorrow and labor in Torah. If you do so, happy are you, and it is good for you. Tehillim, Kuf Kaf Chet, 128. Happy are you in this world, and it be well for you in the world to come. And that's in the Talmud Chulin. Right. Well, And in the, Rabbi Asher continues in the introduction to the Talmud as Sefirot. V'al pi ha-mitbe'er, tavin divrei chazal b'masachet avot perek vav, kachi darkah shel Torah, pat b'melach tuchal, u'mayim b'mesura tishte, v'al aretz tishan, v'hai tzar tichye, u'b'torah ata amel. Im ata oseh kein, ashrecha v'tov lach. אשריך בעולם הזה, וטוב לך בעולם הבא. ויש לשאול על דברים אלה, מה נשתנתה חוכמת התורה משאר חוכמת העולם, שאינן צריכות לסיגופים הללו ולחיי צער, אלא העמל בלבד מספיק לגמרי בחוכמות הללו, וכדי לזכות בהן. וחוכמת התורה, אף הפי שאנו עמלים בה במידה רבה, עדיין אינו מספיק לזכות בה, זולת על ידי סיגופים של פת במלך וכו' וחייצר וכו'. וסיומם של הדברים מפליא עוד יותר, שאמרו, אם אתה עושה כן, אשריך בעולם הזה, וטוב לך לעולם הבא. כי בשול הבא, בהחלט יכול להיות, כי בעולם הבא אפשר שיהיה טוב לי, ואכן בעולם הזה, בעת שאני מסגף את עצמי בחילה ושתייה ושינה, ואני חי בצער רב, יאמרו על חיים כאלה אשריך בעולם הזה, הכאילו חיים מושרים יקרו במובן של העולם הזה. So, Rabbi Ashlag has got a lot of questions on this. And this is what he brings. He brings in his Talmud as Sefirot, he brings a quotation from above. And this is the way of Torah. You should eat bread in salt, water in a strict limit, sleep on the ground, and live a life of sorrow and labor in Torah. If you do so, you will be happy and it will be well with you. You will be happy in this world and it will be well with you in the world to come. And we need to ask concerning these words. In what way is the wisdom of the Torah different from all other wisdoms of the world that don't need such ascetic practices and the life of sorrow, it's enough just to labor in them alone in order to acquire these wisdoms? And the wisdom of the Torah, even though we do labor in it to a great extent, this is not enough. Why is it not enough to acquire it? Unless we go to these ascetic practices of eating a bread in salt and living a life of sorrow. And the end of what they say is even more strange. That they say, if you do so, you will be happy in this world and it will be well for you in the world to come. Well, it may well be that it will be well for me in the world to come. But how could one say concerning this world when I'm afflicting myself in eating, drinking, and sleeping, and living a life of great sorrow, that they should say about such a life, you will be happy in this world? Could such a life be considered happy in the sense of this world? Okay. All right. That's his question. One second, I've got all tangled up. I need to put the light on. Sorry, the heavens suddenly grew dark and I couldn't see anything. Okay. Okay, any questions or comments? I've got a
lot. The bread and salt, is that why on Friday night the host always dips the bread in salt?
Actually, not as far as I'm aware. I mean, as far as I'm aware, the reason for that practice is actually because on Friday night and Shabbos, where we don't lead a life of sorrow, but we are enjoined to have a beautiful meal, is actually because the table represents the altar, and the as in the Beit HaMikdash, and the salt is because there was salt put on the sacrifices. So there we go. So that's actually for a different reason completely. He's talking really about, you know, daily life here, not Shabbos.
Yeah, Dita. I thought that I always had the impression that Judaism was the opposite of an ascetic life, that Buddhism and Hinduism and all these traditions were really about asceticism, but Judaism was about bringing God into every physicality and to really rejoice and bless everything. So this, to me, feels a little bit contrary to that, and at the same time, I see that, okay, well, what if you humble yourself all the way to this level, then you'll experience great joy in this life. So both are, the message is kind of both of those things at the same time. So I'm kind of trying to, in my mind, see how those are both playing here.
Yes, Lina, I'm very much with you on that. When I first read this, I my God, you know, what is this? You know, I really kind of like denied it. I have to say, through the difficulties that I've been going through in the last few months, my perspective on life has very much changed. And I can begin to see, you know, that putting the right things right and denying gratification is actually a good thing. Certainly, Judaism is not like Hinduism and Buddhism in emphasizing an ascetic life, as far as I understood. Nevertheless, this particular Mishnah has a basis to it. Obviously it does, otherwise it wouldn't say so. But generally speaking, Rabbi Ashlag himself was not in favor of ascetic practices. And although he himself did lead a very ascetic life, I mean, he was very strict with himself personally. And certainly in the terms of modern days, where, you know, plenty is surrounding us, and compared with former times, we live in a real comparative luxury, all of us. He himself was in fact, did lead a pretty ascetic life, and he himself was very strict with himself about how much he slept, and when he got up to learn Torah, he used to get up to learn Torah from 1 o'clock in the morning. He only ate according to what was necessary to keep himself together. So there was, you know, he himself did lead, but some of his pupils who sort of like wanted to really, you know, do more, go towards asceticism, he really said no. He said, no, that's not the way. That's not the way of Torah. You need, and it's much more towards what Elina said, what you said secondly, which is to bring the Torah life into the everyday. Anyhow, so this is a sort of dilemma, and we're going to see how Rabbi Ashlag deals with this dilemma. Okay?
There's some kind of a noise on the line. Do you hear it, or is it just my computer?
I personally don't hear any noise on the line.
Oh, okay, maybe it's my computer.
Yeah. Dean, are you there?
Yes, I hear no noise.
Okay, all right, good. No, because since I can't see your picture, I just wanted to make sure you were there.
No, I'm here. I'm here, thank you.
All right, okay, very good. All right, lovely. Beseder gemor. All right, so these are the questions, all right? And it certainly seems to be some sort of, like Elena said, some sort of conflict. Certainly the Rabbi of Lubavitch says in practically all his Parshat HaShavua that I read the the one for the families, Shulchan Shabbat, that the purpose of Torah is to bring Torah into everyday life and not to deny everyday life. And Rabbi Ashlag himself also said that ascetic practices were not generally he did not recommend them to his pupils. Okay, so let's move on and see how Rav Ashlag is going to deal with this. Amnam lefi hamavuah la'ayil asher esek haTorah v'kiyum haMitzvot kilchatan b'tna'am haChamur shu b'chdei lashpi nachat ruach liyotzo v'lo l'tzorech hanaato atzmo ei efshar lavo l'ze ela b'derech ha'avodah ha'gdola v'yegiyah rabah b'zikuch haguf which is הרצון לקבל לעצמו. והתחבולה הראשונה היא להוגיל את עצמו שלא לקבל כלום להנאתו, מתוך רצון לקבל לעצמו, אפילו בדברים המותרים והמוכרחים שבצורכי קיום גופו, שהם אכילה ושתייה ושינה, וכדומה מהכרחיים, באופן שיסלק את עצמו לגמרי מכל הנאה המלווה לו, אפילו בהכרח בדרך ההספקה של קיום חייו, עד שחיי צער יחיה פשוטו כמשמעו. However, according to what is explicit above, that the practice of Torah and the fulfillment of the mitzvot in their true way of doing them, which is in order to give pleasure to the Creator, and not to receive pleasure for oneself at all, one actually can't come to that except through a very great work and a very great labor in purifying the body. Now, the body in the Kabbalah is the word for the will to receive oneself alone. Now, the body, the word body in the Kabbalah doesn't just mean the physical body. It also means, and I think primarily means, the emotional body and the mental body. Well, all of it, really. Because the will to receive oneself alone is a desire. And it expresses itself in many levels. It expresses itself with, on the most basic level, you know, with good food at nice restaurants. It expresses it, or nice clothes, or whatever it happens to be, a comfortable body. It expresses itself through desire for emotional satisfaction, for somebody to appreciate me, for somebody to give me respect, for those sort of things. Some people want power. And there's also, of course, a mental will to receive oneself alone, which is very strong in certain people who are fascinated by knowledge and want intellectual satisfaction, like, you know, scientists, for example, who are just like not particularly interested in bodily comforts or in emotional comforts, but are fascinated by information, by knowledge. Okay, that's also a will to receive oneself alone. And ultimately, interestingly enough, there's also spiritual will to receive oneself alone, which is when a person is not so interested in the things of this world, but he wants God. And he wants ecstasy, or he wants mysticism, or he wants understandings of higher worlds. Not because God wants to give them to him, but because he wants it. And that's also a will to receive oneself alone. So, actually, in order to fulfill the Torah and mitzvot, you've actually got to go to a really opposite extreme, which is not receiving any of these things, but giving. Okay? And this is very difficult because God placed within us a basic nature. And that basic nature is one of receiving. We've all got it. And we've all got it to some extent in every realm. Some of us more in the physical realm, some of us more in the emotional realm, some of us more in the mental realm, and some of us more in the spiritual realm. But we've all got something of all realms. Okay? It's just developed in different ways in different people and different mixtures in different people. We've all got all of it, but it's just in different ways. So, in order to actually come to fulfill the Torah and the mitzvot in their proper way, which is to give pleasure to God and not for ourselves alone, yes, we do have to come to, it is a very great labor and tremendous work to purify the body, which is not just the physical body. It's the mental and emotional and spiritual body, which is the will to receive oneself alone. So in a way, if we look at that Mishnah, what the Mishnah is saying, it's describing a purification of the physical body. But in a way, Rabbi Ashlag is actually widening this to say, well, any way of receiving we need to look at and say, well, am I receiving for myself alone, or can I let that go and then turn to giving and the way of Torah instead? So if you see what Rav Ashlag is saying here, is like he's, instead of just throwing out the Mishnah, in one sort of sense, he's widening it, but not focusing it just so much on the physical, but widening its application. Okay? And he says, and the first tactic is to accustom oneself not to receive anything for one's own enjoyment, even things which are permitted and which we even need for the necessary survival of our body, which are eating, drinking, and sleeping, and such like, which are compulsory. Such that a person should remove himself at all from any enjoyment which accompanies him, even in what is compulsory in the way of supplying his everyday existence, until one lives a life of sorrow, literally. Well, again, you know, I had tremendous difficulty with this piece of writing. And I basically, you know, just reject, you know, what do you call hachasha, you know, denial, you know. I was in denial of what he even wrote it, you know, for years. Because it didn't make sense to me. Because on the one hand, as Elena quite rightly pointed out, we make a bracha. We make a bracha on the food. We make a bracha on the drink. We make a bracha before we go to bed at night. You know, hamapil chevle shena meinai. We make a bracha when we wake up in the morning. And of course we need to be thankful for everything we've got. And how can that be a life of sorrow? So again, we need to again look very closely at what Rabbi Ashlag is really meaning here. And I think I got a little bit of glimmering from this next piece, which is an extract from the introduction to a different introduction, which actually Alina learnt with me already, and so did Jody and Mia. We learnt it, introduction to the Panim Irot and Masbirot. There's just one small paragraph from there. And I got a little bit of glimmering of what all this might mean. And in this you can understand, I'll read first in Hebrew. ובזה תבין מה שכתוב בכתובות, עכשיו פטירתו של רבי, זקף עשר אצבעותיו כלפי מעלה, אמר ריבונו של עולם, גלוי וידוע לפניך שיגעתי בעשר אצבעותיי בתורה, ולא נהניתי אפילו באצבע קטנה. וכתוב שם בתוספת שם, שעד שאדם יתפלל שיכנס תורה לתוך גופו, יתפלל שלא ייכנסו מעדנים לתוך גופו. והיינו משום שצורת הקבלה העצמית, שהוא ההפכי מהקדושה, מתרבה ומתגדל בשיעור התענוג המושג לגופו. ואם כן, איך אפשר לו להשיג אור תורה לתוך גופו? ביותו נפרד בהפכיות הצורה עד הקצה מהקדושה. ושנאה גדולה מצוי ביניהם, כערך כל ההפכיים, ששונאים זה לזה, ואינם יכולים להימצא בכפיפה אחת. ופשוט הוא שמחויב מקודם להתפלל, שלא ייכנסו המעדנים והתענוגים לתוך גופו, ולפי רוב המעשה בתורה המצוות, נמצא לאט לאט, זוכה להפך צורת הקבלה לעל מנת להשפיע. And in this you can understand what is written in the Masechet Ketuvot, in the Gemara, that when Rabbi, that's Judah the prince, raised his ten, that was dying, he raised his ten fingers above to heaven, and he said, Master of the universe, do you want to bring a chair, sweetie? Master of the universe, it is revealed and known before you that I labored with all ten fingers in Torah. And I didn't even give pleasure even to my little finger. And it's written there, in the Tosefet there, that until a man prays that he can bring Torah into his body, he should pray that he can't bring, that he doesn't bring extras, like delicacies into his body, which is the form of the will to receive for oneself alone, which is the opposite of holiness. Because the form of the receiving for oneself alone, which is the opposite of holiness, grows and magnifies according to the delight which is attained by his body. And if he were to do so, how would it be possible for him to attain the light of Torah into his body, since he's separated in opposition of form, in the complete opposite from holiness, and there's complete, like even hatred between them, like there is between all opposites which hate each other, and they can't be together in one closeness. And this is simple, that a person should simply pray that he should not bring delicacies and delights into his body. And we find that according to most of the action in Torah mitzvot, slowly, slowly, a person merits to oppose the form of receiving and get it to receiving for, to the sake of giving. Okay, for me, I found that actually a very helpful explanation. Does anybody want to comment and say why they think that might be helpful? No, not especially? Well, I found it helpful because he's talking about delicacies, extras, luxuries. And I found in my life that there were things that I thought were necessities. And then subsequently I discovered that I could really do without them and I was fine without them. And then they became luxuries. And I didn't need them to such an extent as I'd originally thought. And when I began to sort of like look at it more in a gradual way, in it, not in such an extreme way as the Mishnah brings it, but in a more as a process, I began to see that maybe there was something to it, and that maybe one could come to a happy medium.
I think, Yedida, that's very helpful to me too, because I think we're all in a kind of process that we know we have to work on just that aspect. But the things that we want, you know, you want them so much, and it's hard to want what you have and not to have what you want, right? We used to have a Rav in our yeshuv who once said, you know, that if it's hard to get something, you probably don't need it. The things that you really need are very easy to acquire. Like we all need water and air, right. And you know that Hashem put that everywhere and very accessible. You know, and I was like looking for some special kind of book or food or game or whatever it was that I wanted, and it was very hard to get. And once realizing that maybe I don't really need it if it's so expensive or so hard to get, that the things I really need are all around me.
I think, I was very helped by somebody pointing out to me that in the morning brochas, when we say our morning brochas, all the brochas that we say are in the present tense. Pokeach, Ivrim, Matir Asurim.
Right, except for Asher Asali Kol Tzarki.
Asher Asali Kol Tzarki. In other words, that all my needs have already been met.
Yes.
And I don't actually need to worry. And, dear God, thank you for reminding me of this today. You know, because I'm having such a hard time and I don't want to complain. And I know that it's God's grace to me. And I'm really thanking God and trying to thank God at every moment and having the hardest time doing it.
It's much easier to look back, right? It's easier to look back, but when you're in the middle going through it, it's very hard to see the bigger picture and why things are happening.
Right now, I'm still in the middle. There's still a lot of problems, which I'm still not really don't have a solution yet to. And I'm just having to remind myself, Asher Asali Kol Tzarki. Everything that I need, God has already given me.
Amazing. And you should know, Yedida, that you have so many people who worry about you, love you, and are concerned and praying that you'll be well. And...
Amen. Amen. Yes. And that's what I'm really asking. I'm really asking God, you know, don't do it for my sake, but I've got so many loving, loving, loving friends and students who I just love so dearly. Please, please, please let me be well for them.
Amen, amen.
Amen. And, you know, nothing hurts me more than having to cancel shiurim. Yesterday, I have a dear chavruta in Canada, And, you know, 5 minutes before the shiur, I had pain in my chest, and my blood pressure had zoomed up to the sky, and there was just no way I could teach. And, you know, and just had to send her a message on Skype, "I'm so sorry, Diane, I can't teach now." And, you know, and there's this poor girl got up early, because in Canada, it's, you know, it's early in the morning.
But very soon you will get back to your full strength, and then we'll make you repay all the classes, so don't worry.
Oh, mate, you got sewn. You know, Lisa wants to be on the class. I didn't have the courage to try and set up Skype for her.
I'll speak to her.
Yeah, I'll try, and I've been wanting to put up the recordings for people. People who've missed classes, they want the recordings. I haven't had the courage for any of it.
You will. I'm sure you will.
Oh, you
will.
Thank
and people are patient,
you.
And we're
I know. I've never met such wonderful people in my life. I really haven't. I mean, if there is blessing in it. There's a lot of blessing in it. There's a lot of learning in it for me. And the greatest blessing is the incredible friends and chavrutas that I meet and are with me. Mm-hmm. Got one sitting right by me here who's come to be with me.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely wonderful. And I can't begin to tell you all how much it means. Mm. And to know that that's what's real.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And to let go of, you know, there were things I thought were necessary. And just slowly, slowly understanding that they're not. They are not necessary. And what I thought was necessary is actually a luxury. And I can let go of the luxuries. And sort of like looking at this sort of like process of calling what I thought was a necessity, calling it a luxury. Well, of course, I can let go of a luxury. And then just coming back to a necessity. That's actually helping me a lot to come to understand, you know, about this whole will to receive oneself alone and how one can deal with it. I mean, like, for example, I'll give you another example. When I was first marketing the books, Tapestry for the Soul and In the Shadow of the Ladder and all that sort of thing, I thought that I needed to somehow make my mark on the internet so that people would know Yedida Cohen and they would be able to find the books and all that kind of stuff. And I thought that was necessary. And over time, I've understood that it's not necessary, that God sends to me the people who need to find me. All that's really necessary is for me to have a decent website up there. And with the work of Rabbi Ashlag that I've managed to do, Baruch Hashem, on it. And then whoever needs to, God will guide them to find it.
So that's really about trust, isn't it? I mean, I've been reading further now in this lesson, and it really comes to emunah, which is not belief so much, but trust, right? The fact that you would trust, and that you trust Hashem that He will give you what you need, ready what you need, and will help you through this process to learn what you need to learn and to take what you need to take from it.
That's right. And I think all of us are in this process, actually. And then actually that comes back to what Alina brought up, which was the enjoyment and the blessing. Because funnily enough, you actually enjoy more and bless more when you've got less. When you're surrounded by, you know, a huge amount, when somebody gives you something, it doesn't really mean that much. When you have a little and somebody gives you something, it's wow! It's wonderful. And, you know, when somebody, at the beginning, when people would write to me and say, oh, you know, terrific, you know, In the Shadow of the Ladder, when, you know, In the Shadow of the Ladder was just coming out, you know, people would say, oh, you know, this is, you know, terrific, fantastic, whatever. And I thought, well, that was just usual sort of praise that people gave books. now when somebody writes to me and writes to me, you know, out of the blue and says what it means to them, I really appreciate so much what they're saying, and I bless it. So in a funny sort of way, by letting go of the luxuries, letting go and paring things down, you actually do find the blessing arising much more clearly and much more truthfully. And that's, at least that's what I found. And that's what's, to me, come to this reconciliation between what seemed at the beginning like a hopeless paradox. When one's only got what one needs, one truly blesses it, because then you're given the way to live exactly what you need. And that's a true blessing. Now that was like a bit of my process on it, if that's helpful at all.
Very much.
That's good. And then Rabbi Ashlag goes on. So I did find that piece from the introduction to the Talmud Sisvirot. So the introduction to the Panim Me'irot and Masbirot actually very helpful here in actually understanding what Rabbi Ashlag was writing. Because he then goes on, you know, as if what I think, you know, could take most of a lifetime to achieve. He goes on in the next sentence, you know. That's very typical of Rabbi Ashlag, by the way. You can find between one sentence and the next a lifetime of work. So here's, you know, then his, you know, Va'az, achar shekvai tuakel b'ze, ukva ein b'kufo shum ratzon lekabel hana'a kol shi latzmo. Efshar lo me'ata lasok b'tora ulikeyem ha'mitzvot gam ken b'derech hazo. Dahaynu, b'chdei lashpia nachat ruch liyotzo, v'lo lahan'ot atzmo b'mashu. Ukshozech zoche b'ze, הזוכה לטעום את החיים המושרים המלאים מכל טוב ועונג, בלי פגם של צער כלשהו, המתגלים בעסק התורה והמצווה לשמה. Okay. And so here, you know, what seems to me to be a lifetime's work, or maybe several lifetimes' work, or several gilgulim, okay, several incarnations, we've now got the next sentence, all right.
And only because he lived this way, he really went through this process, could he say this so simply?
I think, I mean,
you can accept it because you know it's true, that he knows this is true because he actually worked to achieve this.
He worked to achieve this, and he undoubtedly achieved what, you know, we would call enlightenment or dvekut with God at an exceptionally early age. He became a tzaddik gamor at something like the age of 22. This is totally, totally clear from his writings. He was already a great tzaddik before he arrived in Eretz Israel, and he arrived in Eretz Israel something like when he was 24, something like that. We know this from his writings. You know, I'm doing this biography of his.
Right.
And Baruch Hashem, despite everything, we're getting on with it. And it's coming on. Thank the Lord. Slowly, but there's Rat Hashem, it's nearly there. I mean, it's, you know, this shlav of editing is nearly done, and then we've got the last stages of proofreading.
It's wonderfully important because I think for people to want to learn this, if they're inspired, you know, by people's lives, and
and
you know, it really helps you so much when you read about someone who's achieved this great level, and then you want to be inspired to be like him, and then you want to read their works.
I think so. I'm tremendously helped by the biography. I'm tremendously helped. I mean, yes, absolutely. Although, in some ways, he's not a role model for us, because for most of us, we have to go much slower than he did.
Yes, but you can see what needs to be achieved.
Yes.
You've got a vision where to aim for.
Yes,
exactly. And you want to go, there's no limit how high you can aim. So you want to aim, you know, see the very highest level, because, you know, of course, you know, it's such a long process. But I think it's very inspiring to see that already from the beginning, this, you know, the aim.
I think so. For me, it's made a huge difference in my understanding. And so, you know, so look, here he is, and he's saying, okay, so now, after one's already, you know, got oneself used to all of this, and now in a person's framework, in his body framework, there's no will to receive pleasure at all for himself alone. From now on, he can occupy himself with Torah and fulfill the mitzvot in this proper way, which is in order to give pleasure to the Creator without any self-pleasure, taking pleasure for himself at all. And when he merits this, then he merits to taste the full and true and happiest life, filled with all good and joy, without any defect of sorrow at all, which is revealed in the practice of the Torah and mitzvot for its own sake. Just as Rabbi Meir said, and this is the very first verse in the Mishnah in chapter 6, Pirkei Avot, just as Rabbi Meir says, Kol osek b'Torah lishma zocheh ledvarim harbeh, v'lo od ela shekol olam kulo kedai ulo, nikareya, ahuv, ohev tamakom, אוהב את הבריות, מסמך את המקום, מסמך את הבריות, ומלבשתו ענווה ויראה, ומחשבתו להיות צדיק, חסיד, ישר ונאמן, ומרחקתו מן החטא, ומקרבתו לידי זכות, ונהנין ממנו עצה ותושייה, בינה וגבורה, שנאמר לי עצה ותושייה, אני בינה לי גבורה, ונותנת לו מלכות וממשלה וחלקו דין, ומגלינו רזי תורה, ונעשה כמעיין המתגבר, וכנהר שאינו פוסק, ובי צנוע ואורך רוח, ומוחל על עלבונו, ומגדלתו וממותו על כל המעשים. This is, again, like the aim, where are we going to get to? And Rabbi Meir says, all who occupies himself in Torah for its own sake merits many things. Not only that, but the whole world is worthwhile for him. He's called a friend, beloved, one who loves God, one who loves the created beings, who gives pleasure to God, who gives pleasure to the other creatures. He's cloaked in humility and reverence for God. He's fitting to be a tzaddik, pious one, honest, faithful. He keeps far away from sin and brings close to merit. Others enjoy for him good counsel, perseverance, understanding, and strength. As it says, I have counsel and perseverance. I am understanding. I have strength. And it gives him sovereignty and governance. Inquiry and judgment, the higher ones revealed to him the inner meanings of the Torah, and it becomes like a spring which is overflowing and like a river which doesn't stop. And he's modest and long-suffering and pardons any insult, and he is magnified and exalted over all deeds. This on its own has so much in it. It's my favorite piece, and the piece that I think should be on everybody's fridge. Mm-hmm. So if we haven't discussed it as a group before, let's start again here next week and really go into it, because there's so much there. Okay?
Okay.
Wonderful. All right. And it doesn't matter to me how many times we discuss that piece, because it's the most beautiful piece. And for me, it's the essence of everything we're learning.
Mm.
All right.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, God. Baruch Hashem, I was here. Thank you, everybody, for being.
And thank you.
Also, those in the States who I didn't know about this, the clock change. And also give my love to Lisa and tell her I'm so
I will.
Sorry, but Bezrat Hashem, it's going to happen. Bezrat Hashem.
I will. Can I call you now on your regular phone in a few minutes?
Yeah, okay, thanks.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, love. Bye.